Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the Friday, January 8th edition of John Solomon Reports. A couple days now have settled in from the terrible tragedy that occurred in our nation's capital, in the Capitol building. We're still sorting out who people are, how many were Trump and MAGA supporters, whether any were Antifa, whether some were QAnon. We're still sorting through that, and until we get facts, we don't want to put out misinformation. Some people have had erroneous stories out there already. We want to be more careful, but it does look like there may have been a hodgepodge of different agent provocateurs, and we're going to get to the bottom of that. But one thing we are certain of, and what I wanted to focus today on, and why I have chosen the guest we've chosen, which is Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. We've had him on here before. I know you guys enjoy listening to him. The reason I am bringing him back is that he gave a speech on the floor that I think is one of the certain truisms that we do know from this event. And that is, beyond the fact that it was wrong, violence is wrong, this did no good, hitting a police officer over the head with a fire extinguisher and causing his death is felony murder, perhaps a capital punishment murder. It is hideous. It is horrible. We know that for sure. But the second part that we are now certain of after 2-3 days of watching this is that the news media have treated this event entirely different than the way they treated the entire summer of burning and pillaging and rioting that occurred in America in the name of Black Lives Matter, in the name of black men, one who was killed absolutely without justification by an officer, another who we now know was killed because he picked up a knife or had a knife in his possession and threatened an officer with it. Those are important things to remember in the fact base, but all of the mayhem and destruction that was waged upon the United States from Portland to Washington, D.C., from New York to many other cities around the country, it was treated entirely different by the national news media. Those people were called protesters. They were called social justice revolutionaries or social justice proponents, but they waged the same sort of illegal mayhem that was waged in our nation's capital this weekend. But the media is calling what happened Wednesday an insurrection, a riot, a horrific event. I agree with all those, by the way. But they would not use the same terms for same conduct. When a woman fires a Molotov cocktail or fireworks into a loaded police van, she's trying to set those officers on fire and to harm or kill or maim them. And that is just as riotous, that is just as insurrectionist, it is just as evil as what happened on Wednesday. But you can go back and you can look at this and you can see the condemnations are different by Democrats, the media coverage is different, and it's why we're moving more and more towards a world of two separate realities. And what I wanted to do today is bring Matt Gaetz on because in the middle of this extraordinarily horrible moment on Wednesday, Matt Gaetz gave a speech on the floor that was roundly praised by his colleagues on the Republican side, at least, for calling out the hypocrisy, the double standard, the intellectual dishonesty of what went on. And my colleague Daniel Payne at justthenews.com has a story that really examines word for word how the news media and Democrats took identical behavior in the summer, burning, rampaging, rioting, putting public and police officials in grave danger, covered it entirely different than the same behavior that occurred inside the Capitol on Wednesday. And if you don't get anything else to do this weekend or today on Friday, January 8th, 2021, just go read Daniel Payne's story. Now, we're going to bring Matt Gaetz on, the congressman from Florida, second, but I want to play a segment right now of the speech he gave on the floor in the wee hours of Wednesday night, Thursday morning, before Joe Biden's election was certified. I want you to listen because I think he captures the hypocrisy almost as well as Daniel Payne. From a political perspective, Daniel Payne took it from a factual perspective. But listen to this clip. You'll understand why I play it after it runs.
This morning, President Trump explicitly called for demonstrations and protests to be peaceful. He was far more, you can moan and groan, but he was far more explicit about his calls for peace than some of the BLM and left-wing rioters were this summer when we saw violence sweep across this nation. Now, we came here today to debate, to follow regular order, to offer an objection, to follow a process that is expressly contemplated in our Constitution. And for doing that, we got called a bunch of seditious traitors. Now, not since 1985 has a Republican president been sworn in, absent some Democrat effort, to object to the electors. But when we do it, it is the new violation of all norms. And when those things are said, people get angry. Now, I know there are many countries where political violence may be necessary, but America is not one such country. Madam Speaker, it was wrong when people vandalized and defaced your home. It was wrong when thugs went to Senator Hawley's home. And I don't know if the reports are true, but the Washington Times has just reported some pretty compelling evidence from a facial recognition company showing that some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa. Now, we should seek to build America up, not tear her down and destroy her. And I am sure glad that at least for one day, I didn't hear my Democrat colleagues calling to defund the police.
All right, so you just heard what Matt Gaetz said. You hear that applause at the end of the speech. Those are Republicans, obviously, not Democrats. But, if a Democrat gave that speech, I would have done the same thing. Or if the roles were reversed, if Republicans had condoned violence on Wednesday and yet decried it over the summer, I would have played a Democrat saying the same thing. The truth of the matter is Republicans have been consistent. They told and decried and have demanded justice on behalf of all of the police officials who were wounded, all the small business owners whose businesses were destroyed, all the members of the American public whose homes and businesses and livelihoods and freedom to walk the streets was destroyed by the anarchists in the summer and the fall. And they decried exactly the same thing, the horrible assault on the People's House, the U.S. Capitol, the place where Congress and America's business is done every day. They were consistent, but Matt Gaetz, I think, captures in his speech, and I know as well, factually, Daniel Payne captures the double standard, the hypocrisy, the mixed messaging that has gone on. We need to hold our media accountable for that. You vote with your pocketbook. When you buy a subscription, when you support an advertiser, when you go to a website and read it, you're voting with your pocketbook. And if you see and hear news media that are playing a double standard now to the great detriment of the American public, if you see members of our government institutions being dishonest, treating the exact same behavior in two entirely different ways, you have an opportunity to make a difference by voting with your pocketbook, by voting with your vote. I won't tell you how to do it. I can just tell you that you have that power in your hands. And we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to spend the whole podcast with Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida and talk about that speech, the reaction to it. And more importantly, how do we get past this world where reality is changed by rhetoric and not by the facts? We need to get back to facts. Factually, setting a police car on fire with police men in it is just as bad as hitting them over the head with a fire extinguisher. Both happened, but the media, some political leaders, have treated them entirely different rhetorically, sympathy-wise, and that is not acceptable in America. We should be able to agree on the facts and disagree on the interpretation, but right now the facts are being hijacked by a dishonest debate in America. Both episodes, those that burned through the summer, those that ruined our and disgraced and desecrated our great U.S. Capitol, are of the equal same criminal misbehavior, but they've been treated so differently. And Matt Gaetz and I are going to talk about that in a second. But first, commercial break. Let's go to our great advertisers, our great sponsors, hear from them, support them, start of a new year. Let them know you love them because you love Just the News and John Solomon Reports. And when we come back, Matt Gaetz will be with you. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a man who got a standing ovation on the floor of Congress just two nights ago because his speech struck such a chord with so many Americans. Congressman Matt Gaetz is back with us. Congressman, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
Listen, that speech about hypocrisy, the double standard, the fact that violence on cops all through the summer was okay for some people and then not okay the second it happened in the Capitol, the inconsistency, it's everybody's talking about your speech. First, what inspired it? And two, how powerful an issue is this going forward?
Jim Jordan was managing the Republican time when it came to framing our objections, and he asked me to go last to be the cleanup hitter for our side, and obviously, that was a lot later than we had originally suspected following the violence. And so the arguments that I intended to make in a very short period of time about Arizona's desire to execute legislative subpoenas to determine that they had selected the right slate of electors that reflected the will of the people through legitimate votes cast was not precisely the speech I had to give. And, you know, it's quite something, John, that every time the left talks about coming together and unifying, it's always on their terms, right?
You know, yes, there's no middle.
It's like, right, and there's no self-reflection ever. Amazing in politics, right? There wasn't a moment where we thought, wow, like, how have we come to this as a country where, for the first time in hundreds of years, the Capitol grounds literally became the site of a storming event? And my hope is that coming together will be viewed by politicians in a way that gives us that self-reflection. Certainly on the left, they had no problem with, you know, months of riots and harm to police officers and threats and destruction. And now all of a sudden everyone's clutching their pearls. And I think there's no doubt that these acts were just a stain on our country, that they shouldn't have happened, that they should never happen again. But I think it also requires from political leaders a little more reflection into the circumstances that led to such a dynamic and bad day.
Yeah, such a good point. And, it's funny, and particularly my profession is perhaps the worst at this, because for 6 months, the people who were throwing Molotov cocktails into police cars were called, you know, social justice warriors. And then all of a sudden they're insurrectionists when they're in Washington and surrounded by Trump people. But in the Republicans have been consistent. They've condemned it when the liberals have done it. They condemned it when it happened on Wednesday. Does this issue play out? How does this law and order play out over the next few months? Do you guys keep harping on this line of hypocrisy, which I assume is going to keep playing out on other issues as well?
John, I have to be honest with you, a little sleep deprived as we're recording this still, and a little bit taking account of the events of what has occurred. I am not thinking months ahead. I am thinking days ahead, and I believe that in the coming days, Democrats are going to bring articles of impeachment to the floor of the Congress, and that I will again be defending against them. And I think there's a reason for that, John, and it's certainly not the actions of the president. The president explicitly called for protesters to be peaceful in his remarks at the White House. But the hatred of President Trump is the unifying feature of today's Democratic Party. And though he came out and said we're going to have a peaceful transition of power to the Biden government, that, you know, while he certainly didn't concede that he fairly lost the election, he understood that Joe Biden would become the president of the United States, you know, they are going to need to continue to attack him and malign him probably through his last days in office as president. Because when you look at today's Democrat coalition, like the Joe Biden wing has very little in common with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing.
Yeah, great point.
Other than the hatred of President Trump. And so I think that they're going to try to use an impeachment vote as early as next week in order to try to keep together a coalition that is otherwise very tenuous.
Were you, this letter that Speaker Pelosi sent the military leaders saying, make sure he doesn't launch the nuclear codes. What's your reaction that a House Speaker does that and interferes with the executive branch government?
Well, of course, you know, that is just, again, a desire to make Trump the focus for the sake of Democrats and for the sake of, you know, their desperate attempt to stay together as a party. But it's also ludicrous when you just think about how President Trump is engaged with the world. He's been a dove. You know, he has kept us out of wars. I think he's the first president in my lifetime, you know, not to start a new war. And he's probably the first to end a war in quite some time, ensuring that we are not forever engaged in the Syrian civil war. So,
right.
You know, President Trump has shown that foreign policy restraint can be a great virtue. Unfortunately, I think under President, you know, elect Biden, under a Biden presidency, you will see the United States more eager to deploy our troops and spread our treasure to places that don't have an impact on the lives of regular Americans.
Well, and from where you stand right now, you're feeling more and more concerned that there's going to be impeachment proceedings next week. Is that right?
I had to get off of a call just to accommodate this recording.
Wow.
And that call was from a Republican colleague. And we are now having to frame out the impeachment defense because we believe that Nancy Pelosi will use the final days of the Trump administration to further divide the country, to further malign, you know, a person who is a great president, who has done magnificent things for our country under just indescribable circumstances and division and hatred from the political left. And they're going to continue that hatred up until the final days.
Wow. That's an amazing week next week. We've been through so much.
As they lecture us about unity, John. I mean,
yes.
That's what frustrates me. We heard all these lectures last night about how we need to come together and all hold hands in the warm spring rain. And, you know, the following sunrise, following the nighttime lectures on unity, you've got Democrats drafting articles of impeachment. And by the way, it's not just President Trump that they're looking to throw out of government. Congresswoman Cori Bush has already called on more than 100 Republicans to be expelled from the Congress.
Wow.
Merely because we signed legal proceedings asking courts to resolve disputes about the 2020 presidential election. She believes that utilizing the legal process and making arguments before a court and utilizing the legislative process and making arguments in Congress with our words should subject us to a reversal of the Democratic will of our constituents.
Mm. It's going to be trying times ahead for the country. I'm not sure they're ready for all this. We've been through so much already. In the last minute we have here, I just want to ask one last question. Is there anything in the next few days at the White House the president can do to blunt this? Or is this just you talked about this sort of being a stunt for Pelosi and Schumer to keep the liberals' eye off of the fact that they're not going to be able to deliver a lot of their agenda. So this is kind of their consolation prize. Is there anything the White House can do to change this dynamic, or is it set in stone?
You know, right now the White House is dealing with resignations of people who I think are more worried about their status at the Washington dinner party social circuit than they are the peaceful transition of power. I mean, we need people to stay at their posts now and ensure that we've got a transition to the Biden government that the president has called upon us to execute. And so I think that personnel and human resources are going to be in the forefront of their mind as much as an impeachment strategy just today and tomorrow. But obviously the president's, you know, remarks about his continued commitment to that peaceful transition are, I think, very helpful. And, you know, look, if we've got to go continue to defend the Trump presidency up to the last hours, that is exactly what Jim Jordan and I intend to do. And we suspect we'll have a number of others join us.
Yeah, I bet that's right. All right, Congressman, I know you got to get back to work. I want to thank you so much for giving us a really a spot update right on the front lines of this extraordinary battle. Wish you a lot of luck. Have a good weekend.
Oh, thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, that wraps up the interview. We'll be back in a few minutes to close out the day. But first, a word from our message, our great advertisers and our great sponsors. Thank you. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. We head into a weekend with a lot to think about. We should mourn the loss of that brave police officer who was unnecessarily wounded and killed in the line of duty. We mourn for our country for the ugly episode that occurred Wednesday and for the ugly episodes that have occurred New Year's Day in Portland and all throughout the summer. This destruction, this anarchy, this chaos, this criminal behavior, there's no room for it in America. There is room, however, for my colleagues in the media to be more intellectually dishonest, more factually honest, because both sets of behaviors over the course of 7 months have been wrong. Wrong for America, wrong under the law, wrong under the Constitution, wrong under morality. And I hope this show has given you some food for thought to think about why our media is doing this, why they're no longer being neutral arbiters of facts, and they're hijacking and creating false realities or different realities from the same set of facts. That's something we got to get a handle on in 2021. Either by creating more institutions that treat facts the same, or by ending censorship, moving to new platforms like Cloud Hub, which we heard about yesterday. So many ways that we can fix this. This isn't an intractable problem. It can be fixed, but first it must be acknowledged. And the Russia case, the Ukraine case, the disparate treatment of two anarchist behaviors, those in the summer, those on Wednesday, the fact that the media hasn't gotten those honestly, intellectually right, honestly, factually right, tells you all you need to know. And let's think about it. We'll come back next week. Maybe we'll have a solution or two. Got a great slate of guests next week. I hope until then you have a blessed weekend with your family, your friends, your loved ones. May God bless you. And may God bless America. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.